James, a few weeks ago, I was in the States, as we've mentioned before, and I got a taste of what it was like to maybe be you a little bit.
Okay.
Well, for the last how many years, I've been down here in Peru, we're doing this podcast, and when I go out on the streets, no one ever says, oh, you're Sean from the podcast. And so I just do this with you. Like, you're essentially my only audience.
Yeah.
But coming into the valley, there were a couple of different places where I ran into people and they were like, are you Sean from the podcast? And that was the first time in my life that I think anyone had ever asked me that. And so it was a very, it was a strange feeling, but it was also a good feeling. The one fellow said he wanted to take a picture for his son, Josh, who listens to the podcast. And so we took the picture. I told him it would be 50 cents. I don't think he ever gave him my 50 cents, though.
Yeah. Too bad we can't go back and delete it.
So hello to Josh and to Anthony and to, let's see, who all? Jessica and to lots of different people who said hello when I was there. I don't remember all your names, but it was gratifying to know that they were actual humans listening to the podcast.
Well, I don't think you know what it feels like to be me, because I don't think I've ever had that happen.
Okay.
That's not me. I guess it's one of those things where, let me see, what did Jesus say? A prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And so this this exotic foreign missionary comes around and everybody thinks that's cool, but you know, James just kind of hunkering down in his basement is not that interesting.
Yeah, probably everyone was looking for where my llama was.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, out back with the luggage.
So anyway, I hardly, I think this is accurate to say, I hardly ever think about the listeners, like when we're recording, like I'm just having a conversation with you and I'm so far away, but it was nice to meet actual humans, shake their hands, take some pictures, even get some ideas, which I've been throwing into our list of ideas here the last couple of weeks. Yeah. So anyway, just a hello to everybody and thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sticking around. Those of you that are listening to this, we have not been. Well, let me see. How do I say this nicely? We haven't been putting out episodes. And obviously, it's just one of those things. It's just life. So we are planning to get back into recording and editing a bit more than we have in the last three or four months or so. But also, don't hold your breath for massive numbers of uploads, but we'll do our best. So
Yeah,
we do have a number of episodes. I think we've mentioned this maybe even an episode just in the recent past that got so many topics that we'd love to cover, but it's just, it takes time. Even this topic we're covering today, I mean, it took a bit of, prep. There's a number of things that I would have been wanting to work on, but I had to set aside to work on this episode. So,
because we don't ever pick topics like which is better, vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream.
Yeah. We're usually talking about some of the bigger questions, although not always. We'd like to make it a little bit lighter and fun occasionally, but I'm afraid that's not this episode. So one thing that has come back up, so it's been almost exactly a year since my Uncle Dave died. And it's in the last episode, you were asking me about, at least if I remember correctly, about people close to me that have died and how that affected me. And I really haven't had that many. I've had one, well, actually two grandparents now, and then my Uncle Dave and my Uncle Bob. And so it feels like I'm moving from, you know, when I was kind of a child and everybody had always been there, and now, you know, reality is starting to sink in. Some of these deaths are expected. You have my Grandma Rhodes, and she lived a very full life, and she just started declining, just what you would kind of expect. My Uncle Dave, it was not really sudden, but in it was about 2 weeks from when he went to the hospital to when he wasn't with us anymore. And then, of course, with Keith, just in the last month, month and a half, that was very sudden. I mean, it went from he's in Guatemala and he's helping Andrews to he's not with us anymore in the course of one or two text messages, we have to kind of grapple with that.
Sure.
And I think you, in the last episode, you talked a little bit about that and how it was very difficult for you. It was difficult for me, but not near to the extent of what some other people had to deal with. And yeah, questions come to mind. And I think probably the biggest question is, why do bad things happen?
Mm-hmm.
And at the viewing, you were there during, were you there at all the viewings? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So you had a chance to talk to a lot more people than mm-hmm. I did. And yeah, what did you hear from people, or what did you think yourself about why this happened?
Well, certainly it's everyone's first response to try to figure out why. I think without exception, people were trying to figure out why this happened. Mm-hmm. And that alone was somewhat, I suppose, remarkable to me, just seeing how all of us humans are a bit the same. We're trying mm-hmm. to make sense of going from one reality to another.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this many episodes ago about how secular science would say that this is an explanation or expression of why humans, particularly uneducated humans, need a higher power, need mm-hmm. a deity.
Mm-hmm.
It's because when we can't explain something, we need to go to something outside of ourselves. We look to something supernatural.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people had lots of things to say as they were working through their own thoughts and emotions, like it was just his time to go, or mm-hmm. If God didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. Let's see, what were some other ones of those? It was just a coincidence that he was in Guatemala. It could have happened just as easily in Virginia or some other location. Like, it was mm-hmm. just, in some of those comments, it almost was like a predestined fate.
Yeah.
Like, that date, at that time,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't have mattered where he had been or what he had been doing. Like, his life would have just been over.
Yeah.
And just coincidentally, the universe used this confluence of events to bring mm-hmm. it about in that context.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was probably the most common idea that I pulled out of people's comments.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. And that's kind of what I assumed, is that you'd be hearing some things like that. I mean, I heard similar things as well at Christian Light. We were talking through it and trying to make sense of it all. And we do want there to be meaning in some of these things that are happening. We don't want it to be without mm-hmm. meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only one of the things in the world that happened that are just terrible. The 2-year anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine was, I think, within the last week or so. It's been going for 2 years.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, at this point, I think there's been hundreds of thousands of people either killed or injured.
Ugh.
Yeah, and there's been millions of people been displaced and homes have been destroyed. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, why does this happen? And mm-hmm. then you have in Israel, it's been happening since October, roughly, where Hamas went into Israel, killed a number of people, and then Israel retaliated by going into the Gaza Strip and bombing and invading there. And there's many other conflicts around the world that we see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do these things happen? We want there to be some meaning or something good that can come out of it. And of course, with Keith, we have lots of accidents, and there's many different types of accidents. People fall. I've fallen off of a roof multiple times while roofing, and I mean, I was a bit sore the next morning, and that was about it. So
yeah.
There's farming accidents. I think just in the last week, there's a young boy who's driving a tractor and it rolled over and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So every morning at Christian Light, we have a time of singing and sometimes devotions, and usually there's some prayer requests. And quite often there's somebody is sick, somebody is on their deathbed, somebody died. It's a tragic mm-hmm. death of somebody young or whatever the case might be. And yeah, there's just a lot of terrible things happen around the world. I'm not trying to make everybody depressed. I'm just trying to face the reality of what's happening. And then you have natural disasters. There's hurricanes, floods, mudslides. There's, like it's already been kind of mentioned, there's kind of sickness. There's cancer. There's people that are born with terrible deformities and birth defects and so forth. And why do these things happen? And that's really really kind of what we want to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. And for us as believers, I think the question behind the question is, if God is so good and God is so powerful, why do these bad things keep on happening? Or why isn't he doing something about it?
Yeah, exactly. And this is sometimes called, in maybe apologetics or some other areas of theology, it's called the problem of pain. And there's a book by C.S. Lewis with that title that I've read, oh, a number of years ago, that helped me to think through it a bit. I don't agree with everything in the book, but it has some interesting things. You ever read The Problem of Pain?
I have not. I have not heard of that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's probably not as well known as some of his other books, such as Mere Christianity and some of his fiction, like Chronicles of Narnia and so forth. But yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I think you summarized it well. It's not just why do these things happen, but if, you know, we believe that God is good, we believe that God is all powerful, how are these things still happening with an all powerful God? And
right.
People have different ways to kind of make that apparent conflict work. Obviously, these bad things happening, obviously we believe God is good. And how do we get these two conflicting viewpoints or realities to reconcile?
Right.
And I think that that's a little bit of what some of these comments are coming from that you heard there at the viewing and other times surrounding this whole event, was people trying to, you know, to reconcile a loving God with the state of the world.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe my question to you then is God responsible for these deaths? Is God responsible for these bad things that happen in earth, all this list of sad things that you mentioned?
Well, it's a complex yet simple question. I don't think that makes sense, but like, I have my opinion, but it also, it takes a bit of explanation. So one thing that often comes up when something bad happens is people will often attribute it to God. They'll say it was God's will. You know, God has a reason. God doesn't make mistakes. These things happen for a reason. So in a sense, they are maybe not explicitly saying that God is responsible, but they're implying that God is responsible. So if God doesn't make mistakes, and this is said in response to something bad that has happened, then you're implying that God is either directing or causing the bad thing. Mm-hmm. So you could say, all right, why do bad things happen? Because God wills that they happen.
Mm-hmm. And another word for that is God wants them to happen. I think it's sometimes what that's a little bit what we're implying or understanding.
Yeah, I think so. But then the question is, well, what is God's will? And that's a whole big discussion we can't get into here. Sometimes you hear the term ultimate will and permissive will. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Or another one might be perfect will instead of ultimate will.
Yeah.
And then permissive will. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you give me like a explanation for what you think that means or what your understanding of that is?
Yeah, I think so. Probably a lot of people would understand that God's perfect will or God's ultimate will as to be everything should be a perfect and happy, a paradise, Garden of Eden, before sin setting. That's God's perfect will. And God's permissive will, which by saying that, we're saying the things that he allows to happen, I suppose, is that he really doesn't want people to die or to suffer, but he lets that happen for his own reasons, I suppose.
Yeah. So in preparation for this episode, I reread a book that I read back in 2022. I saw on Goodreads that I'd reviewed it back in 2022, almost exactly 2 years ago, by Michael Martin, called Why Bad Things Happen. And it's a really good treatment of this whole topic. And one thing he said in there is he doesn't like the term permissive will, and he doesn't use that in the entire book. And part of that is because of how the term was used in the past. Permissive will was used as God does actually basically cause it to happen, but it's maybe not, like you said, it's not quite the same as his perfect will or ultimate will.
Mm-hmm.
And then also kind of what it implies is that, like, in other words, if Jimmy asked me if he can ride his bike down the road to the neighbor's house so he can play with the neighbor, he wants permission to do that. I say, sure, yeah, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, that is implying that I am letting him do it. I'm allowing him to do it, but I'm also condoning, or I think it's a good thing for him to do. If it's not a good thing, I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't give him permission.
Sure.
And so I think that's why Michael Martin does not like the term permissive will. So that was kind of a new idea to me, because I've used that term myself. But I think he has a good point that if we permit something, we are in a sense condoning or saying that that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, talking about God's will, you know, what is God's will? One phrase that came to my mind as I was preparing for this and thinking through some of this is 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a special verse to a lot of us. And I think we can get a little bit of God's will in that verse. And there's many other verses as well that we won't get into in this episode, unless you have them in your notes anyway. And so the question is, what sort of things should we attribute to God's will and what should we not? Certainly God causes things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that one bit. But what things does he cause, and what things does he maybe allow? He doesn't like, but mm-hmm. he allows to happen. And what's the difference there? So is there anything that he does cause? And if so, what are those things? What are the things that he allows? And what can we learn from that? Or what does that tell us?
Yeah, makes me think of in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, God says, "I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I only desire that they turn from their wicked ways so that they could live."
Mm-hmm.
And so some people take that verse and say, then God can't judge people. God can't, you know, send people to an eternal punishment because he doesn't take any pleasure in it.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the story of Job, which I think can be really helpful for mm-hmm. us in these situations. Was it God's will that Job went through all he did and suffered the way he did and so on? Well, God talks about that at length at the end of the book of Job,
yeah.
what he wanted. And so one thing that you pointed out there in 1 Peter is that God's will has to do with salvation. His will has to do with redemption. And another big part of his will is that he gets glory.
Mm-hmm.
That's throughout all of the Bible. But God being God, he's allowed to demand glory. He's allowed to demand praise.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of one of the characteristics of being a God, I suppose. And sometimes we get uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. I think maybe even more as a conservative people who are heavily influenced toward humility, which is a good thing. Humility, quietness, so on and so forth. We think God should also be like that. Whereas what I see in scripture is that God is very big, very awesome, not really humble. The Lord Jesus is mm-hmm. meek and humble, at least in his humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But God the Father, not so much. And so God in his sovereignty has the power to do anything he wants to do,
mm-hmm.
but he decides to do only particular things. And what are the criteria that he goes through to decide, am I going to allow this thing to happen or not? And part of it at least has to do with his glory. Another part has to do with salvation, redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And another part has to do with his goodness and what I would call miraculous intervention.
Yeah.
And I guess part of that, you know, bumping up against miraculous intervention that becomes difficult for us is, why does God decide to intervene sometimes, or it mm-hmm. seems like he does, and other times he doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is a difficult question, because if, you know, for instance, of course, with Keith, there wasn't a chance for this, but if somebody is suffering from a long illness, a lot of times we'll pray that they'll be healed. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and the person dies. And it's like, well, were our prayers of any use? God obviously yeah. did not, either was not listening to us or decided not to do what we were asking. And of course, a lot of times we do say, if the Lord wills, we'll talk about that when we're asking for healing for someone.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the whole thing about God's will, you know, what should we attribute to God's will? What events should we attribute to God's will and him acting in the world? And what should we not attribute to him? And then a little bit, what issues come about by attributing some of these things to God? So attributing an accident that happened to God, somebody dies in a car accident,
mm-hmm.
somebody dies from cancer, we attribute that, you know, what issue comes from attributing that to God, or a death from a natural disaster, attributing the natural mm-hmm. disaster to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that people struggle with, and the whole thing of the problem of pain, is that that is a real hurdle for quite a number of people in the world. And I think, at least, I've almost never picked up that in our people, that they struggle with the evil and the sickness and the pain and everything that's in the world. I've never really picked that up. Have you picked that up, or do you know what I'm saying here?
You're saying as a people that we're okay with or understand why there are bad things? Is that what you're getting at?
Well, yes, I think so. Or we don't really struggle with it. Like, you hear about people that really struggle with the fact of there being these bad things, but we have a loving God. But I don't really see any sort of a struggle with that in our people. I've heard very little discussion about it, if any.
Okay. And maybe that has to do with understanding where some of these bad things come from, or like what brought bad things about, perhaps.
I wonder, yeah.
And who's responsible for that? Because one of the things, and yeah, maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but one of the things that we try to emphasize in our teaching is the responsibility of man for his sin and also the effects of sin in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's a little bit where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of the questions here as we're getting into this topic is, who or what are the actors, the influences in making bad things happen? Mm-hmm. I don't think we've quite really defined.
Yeah.
Because there is somewhat this idea or implication that God's responsible for all of it because mm-hmm. he happens to be sovereign.
Yeah.
But is that quite true?
Yeah. I would say it kind of comes down to a number of different, you could say, actors or causes of bad things. The top one, and the one that seems to be most obvious, is evil men.
Mm.
Or men, I should say, not just evil men. Murderers, drunk drivers, rulers, kings, presidents that are evil and obviously following Satan. Liars, thieves, those that are irresponsible, those that are selfish, those that are greedy,
mm-hmm.
those that are ignorant. You know, maybe they're not evil, but they're ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say mankind is probably one of the biggest and most obvious causes of bad things.
Yep.
The other one is natural disasters. So I think one of the most deadly natural disasters ever was a flood in China. And I'm not sure when it was the 1600s or 1700s. And it was over 500,000 people were killed in that flood.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, do you remember the, was it 2003 or 2005? There was the tsunami in Indonesia.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm thinking it was either tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people died in that tsunami. In 2006, I went to New Orleans and helped to clean up some houses there. And I think there was 4,000 or 5,000 people died as a result of Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the last year, there was a wildfire in Hawaii that killed a number of people in a town there. So we have these natural disasters that kill people and cause death. Then another one that we have is our bodies. So we have sickness. It could be cancer. It could be COVID. It could be just a bacterial or viral infection. We have things related to birth defects or, you know, somebody's born a certain way. You could think of Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
other sorts of birth defects where somebody's missing a hand or an arm or legs. And then the other one, and this is the one we've kind of been focusing on a lot at this point, is accidents.
Mm-hmm.
So something that was just maybe you could say by chance, you know, somebody would say by chance, other people would maybe say it was God's will. So those are kind of the main things. I would say mankind, natural disasters, kind of sickness and death, our bodies are broken, and then accidents, which sometimes are kind of related to men as well. So, yeah.
So in thinking about the bad things that happen in our lives that men do, that humanity does to itself, evil people or ignorant people, we start asking questions. Does God want drunk drivers to kill our loved ones by hitting them? Or why do these things come about? So how do we wrestle with the question of a greedy person, a selfish person, a drunk person, an irresponsible person causing some pain or loss in my life?
Well, I think it comes down to free will. So in the garden, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. He said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but you cannot eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, they listened to Satan and they made a choice to eat from that tree. God was not making automatons that obeyed his every command. He was making free agents. You know, free agents are those that have the ability to choose. They can go where they want. They can do what they want. And I think that is a large part of why man causes the things that they do. So somebody decides to break into your house and they have a gun and they shoot one of your family. They were, first of all, driven by selfishness and greediness, and driven by, you know, putting themselves above somebody else, deciding that their life and what they wanted was more valuable than somebody else. And so they made that choice to break into your house, to pull the trigger, and your family is suffering because of that. Could God have stopped that person? Absolutely. But if he would have done that, he would not have been allowing free will to take its course. And I think part of this is because, you know, with Adam and Eve, okay, so he gave them this choice. God could have intervened and prevented them by being deceived by Satan, and they would have never picked from the tree and eaten the fruit, and we wouldn't be where we are today. But there again, if he prevented that from happening, they would not have had free will. And also, I think if God intervenes, you know, if God is constantly intervening and making things happen, then we can't see the consequences of our choices. We won't realize the consequences that they have and the seriousness of our choices. And in doing so, he also would remove our ability to choose the good or choose the bad.
Isn't this one of the difficulties that people have with God and free will? Is if he is sovereign, if he is all powerful and has the ability to intervene and chooses not to, what does that make him? So I see a child in the street, I see a vehicle coming down the street. It is obvious that the child is going to be hit, and I choose not to intervene. What sort of person does that make me? I could be charged with involuntary manslaughter, right? Because I didn't choose to intervene. So is that a little bit what we're wrestling with?
Yeah, I think that's a really good illustration that I'm not sure I've quite thought about. Yeah, that is difficult. And, you know, this explanation of, yeah, bad things happen, you know, men choose bad things because God lets them have free will. It's a simple answer, but it's not an easy one. And yeah, it maybe answers one question, why do evil men do bad things? But then it still leaves the question, why doesn't God intervene? And I'm not sure either. I still kind of come back to that once again, if God would intervene, by definition, we would not have free will anymore. Or, well, you know, so somebody could make a bad choice. Let's say somebody decides to drink and drive. And so they're driving down the road at 11:30. A young lady is driving back a little bit late from her youth function, and the drunkard's car starts swerving into her lane. You know, so he made a choice. He made a choice to drink and to drive. He made a poor, irresponsible choice. And, you know, God could intervene and keep there from being the consequences of his choice. But, you know, God oftentimes will allow the consequences to happen. There again, I think if God would intervene, you know, if we could make a choice, He's not telling us not to drink. He's not making us not drink. But if he removes the consequences, then there's nothing to teach us about why we should choose the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, that's kind of a bigger thing. But let's say if he would remove all consequences when we're young, like we would take a rock and throw it at the head of our brother, and it would swerve, you know, it would always swerve away at the last second because God intervened.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed us to make a choice, but he intervened. Well, then we would never see the consequences. And you could maybe even say we would continue in our kind of reprobate behavior,
mm-hmm.
because there are no consequences to anything we do.
There is something to Isaiah 55:8-9 in that section says that God is saying, my thoughts aren't anything like your thoughts. Mm-hmm. My ways are far beyond your comprehension. And there is an aspect of we as finite beings trying to make sense of infinite sovereignty and power and so on, and mm-hmm. trying to play God from down here in the dust. It's not going to work, but so well, we're not going to be able to come up with a very good explanation, I think. One question I have then is, if bad things happen because of the choices of bad men, simply put, then does that remove God's sovereignty or ability to work good in our lives because he's somewhat hampered by the bad choices of bad men?
No, I don't think that it does. In fact, it's actually almost more amazing that God can work good things. So, for instance, one that I think is mentioned in the book is about Jim Elliot and the Alca natives
mm-hmm.
in Ecuador, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a story that's very familiar to a lot of people, where Jim Elliot and some of his friends went to go preach the gospel to these natives in Ecuador. They were killed, and then there was a lot of good that ended up coming from that, where I think there was maybe even some of the tribe did end up becoming Christians because of what they saw in these men and the response to that as well. So God can use terrible things that happen. He can work through those things. But there's a difference between saying that God can work through or that good can come from something and that God calls the bad thing to happen.
Mm-hmm. Or that the thing in itself is good.
Yeah, that's right. So I think sometimes people say something that's true, which is, you know, good can come from this. God can use this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, in my own life, there was a friend of mine who was killed in a car accident when he was 17. And I can't speak for anybody else in my youth group, but I was very much affected in a positive way to turn to the Lord and to give my life to him because of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And so God worked. So did that mean that this young man was killed so that James would get baptized and become a Christian? There's a difference between God using something for good and causing something.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that God caused my friend to die, but I do believe that God and the Holy Spirit worked in my heart to bring me to him
mm-hmm.
and to ask for forgiveness for my sins.
I suppose it's a little bit like, at least I see a connection between the way that creation worked. God made something out of nothing. God made all that we see out of nothing. And mm-hmm. in his sovereignty, it is maybe similar in that he mm-hmm. takes nothing or worse than nothing, bad stuff, and makes good out of it.
Yeah. Which I don't think many of our people think this, but there are some people, some theological ideas that basically all things are caused by God, even evil.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Martin goes over some of those things there, that there are some churches that will, you know, at the funeral of somebody who was killed in a drunken brawl or something like that, will basically say that the person who killed him was just carrying out what God wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe a bit more extreme than most people would believe. But, you know, if God caused this man to do something, or if it was God's will that the person that was drinking and driving go across the middle line and run into this young girl and kill her,
mm-hmm.
if that was God's will and God caused it, then why do we hold them responsible for what they did?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't treat it that way. We treat them as if they're responsible, usually.
Yeah. I actually heard a message preached specifically about a death from drunk driving, and it was an evangelical preacher. He said that for God, it would have been essentially nothing to move the steering wheel of the drunk driver and just, you know, a degree, and he would have missed the person who was lying in the coffin. But he said God put his hand on the wheel and drove the truck into the person who had died. And that was kind of a bizarre thought for me to think that God was actually directing the vehicle to make this thing happen.
Yeah. So it was a Bible study many years ago, and we were going through, I forget what scripture it was, and somebody was talking about God causing us to sin, or, you know, God tempting us, testing us, that sort of thing. And one verse that, or verses that came to mind was in James 1, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
Right.
And so there we have a verse that very clearly states God does not tempt anyone. He doesn't make anybody sin. He doesn't make somebody drink and then get into a vehicle, make a poor choice like that. God lets people make choices. Now, it does seem like there are times in the Bible where God is able to use people, direct people. I'm not quite sure how that all works. So, for instance, one example that's in the book is that King Saul was killed by an arrow that basically was let loose at random. And it was able to go right through the joints in his armor and wound him. And then he ended up taking his own life. But even like with Judas betraying Jesus, we see clearly that he was judged for the choice that he made.
Yeah.
He was not forced to do that. At least I don't believe that that's the case.
Yeah.
So moving on a little bit to, so we talked pretty extensively here about evil men or ignorant, irresponsible men and causing pain. I want to talk a little bit about accidents. So Sean, why do accidents happen?
Because people are tired and not paying attention and are careless. And
yeah,
why do accidents happen? People sometimes use this phrase, I've used this phrase, avoidable accidents. In other words, if you had taken one moment to think through this process, you would not have cut yourself or whatever. You would not have driven over your dog or, you know, person or whatever. And so some of it is just being distracted and whatever. Why do accidents happen? I think it's a consequence. When humans are involved, it's a consequence of our limitations.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, we could make, here again, kind of comes back to free will. We're given the ability to make choices. And some of those choices are made in ignorance, or like you said, we're not paying attention. And so these things happen. Yeah, another one is a lot of times there are natural laws. So, for instance, laws of motion and inertia, that when we, you know, when I run my vehicle into a concrete wall, the law of inertia says that my body is going to keep traveling forward at the same speed it was before I hit the wall. And that, of course, my internal organs will do the same thing and smash against the inside of my body and cause damage and possibly death. And so here again, it's similar to with evil men. It seems like God sets these laws in place, like, you know, laws like gravity. And those laws are useful. They're what holds the earth in orbit around the sun, the moon in orbit around the earth. It's what holds us to the ground so we don't just float away. But then if those laws are ignored or not taken into account, you know, there was one time that I was hauling around something heavy and I dropped it and it smashed my toe. And, you know, it didn't fall that far. It was just a foot or two. But man, that was painful.
Yeah.
There was one time that I was working up on a roof and laws of, you know, friction. I was working on a roof that had some ice on it. You know, I made a poor choice, placed my foot. Well, the first choice was probably getting on the roof in the first place. The second choice was placing my foot on a slippery spot. And then the law of gravity took over and pulled me inexorably downward towards the ground.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, I wasn't injured. Not seriously anyway. But there's other people that are not able to escape from that sort of thing.
Yeah. You just said, praise the Lord, you weren't injured. I think even that can imply that God's responsible for you not slipping and falling every time you manage to catch yourself. So maybe something that we haven't quite said here, but I'm curious if you have a thought on, is what is the effect of what we would just call chance in our life when it comes to accidents, when it comes to natural disasters and some of these other things?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think earlier one of us said we were talking about ways people respond to a death, or, you know, they say, you know, there are no accidents, which, yeah, kind of interesting thing to think about. Yeah, chance and randomness, you know, being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Personally, I think that there is something to that. You know, you could maybe say, though, that part of that is due to our choices, once again. In other words, I choose to not get ready in time, and so I'm running late. And so I just so happen to be at the spot where somebody can T-bone me in an intersection.
Right.
You know, was that chance, or was that just an accumulation of different choices that we've made that, you know, they kind of accumulate kind of a snowball effect of all these little tiny choices of how much I was accelerating or braking, and they eventually end up looking like chance. But in a sense, it is just choices that are compounding and allowed to go to their natural conclusion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Although I would think maybe some all of those choices compounding, coming to their natural conclusion, might be the definition of chance, at least in some aspect.
Yeah.
I think about Ecclesiastes 9:11, where he says, "The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise man sometimes goes hungry. The skillful don't always become wealthy. Those who are educated don't always have successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time." It's kind of the idea of Ecclesiastes 9:11.
Yeah.
And of course, we understand that Ecclesiastes is looking at life from a non-redeemed, not influenced by the Holy Spirit perspective. We have the extreme opposite in Proverbs 16:9. Man can make his plans, but the Lord determines his steps. And so on one hand, it almost seems like everything is by chance. On the other hand, it doesn't matter what we plan. God will decide what happens, what we choose to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that we need to be careful when we kind of pick a verse somewhat out of context and say, you know, like somebody takes a wrong step and falls and dies. And we say, you know, the Lord determines the steps. I'm not sure what verse you were quoting from there, but I think the following verse says, but then the Lord upholds those who fall, something like that, which, you know, is it talking about a literal physical steps and falling, or is it talking about spiritual, that sort of thing? So anyway, one thing that often kind of sticks out, and Michael Martin brings it out in his book, is we're kind of inconsistent with how we talk about accidents. So somebody dies an untimely death from a car accident, and we say, you know, God called him home. It was his time to go. It was God's will. But then our children knock over a glass of orange juice by flinging around their fork, and we don't say, well, it was God's will. You know, we say, Jimmy, that's enough. Calm down. Exactly. You know, you need to be responsible.
Why did you not think?
Yeah. Why did you not think? If God causes all things, we shouldn't hold anybody responsible for anything they do or say.
And exactly.
That's not the case. And I think maybe part of that is, you know, natural, that God has maybe put in us. And even in the, you know, I just finished reading through Leviticus, there's all these laws that have to do with accidents and what happens, what a person is responsible for after somebody accidentally kills somebody else. And God doesn't say in those laws, I caused it, don't hold the person responsible. The person is still responsible. And so I think that there is, you know, we do have free will. We are held responsible. We do have, you know, we are free agents in the world. And I think that that's what causes a lot of what we call accidents.
Our inconsistency, I assume, comes from some invisible line that we have in our minds of what we can handle and what we can't handle. So the spilled orange juice is something that, this is something I'm capable of dealing with. Therefore, it's in my realm of responsibility. It doesn't fall on God. But when my child, who was alive yesterday, is no longer alive today, that's something that is beyond my ability to influence, to control, make a difference in, therefore it becomes God's responsibility. And so I think that inconsistency probably has a bit of explanation in what we feel like we're able to influence.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because so I think earlier you said that secular people that don't believe in God say, well, you're just appealing to higher power because you can't deal with the reality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a little bit of truth to that. Not saying that that disproves that there is a higher power, but just right. saying that is kind of who we run to, or who we start attributing things to when we don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
We don't want to attribute it to a kind of a cold, implacable, unfeeling universe that is just kind of mechanically churning along. We want there to be meaning. We want there to be something behind the pain that we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start attributing it to God or to some higher power, or some greater purpose we don't understand. And yeah, I don't want to be taken wrong to think that I'm condemning people that do that. But yeah, it's just kind of have to wonder sometimes.
I suppose there's this aspect of two things can be true, or more than one thing can be true at once.
Mm.
And we tend to be fairly binary in, like, so we've kind of implied that if a bad thing happened and then a good thing came out of it, God used it for good, this bad thing. Therefore, God must have caused this bad thing. Those are the only two options.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this idea of accidents don't happen. One comment that came up with the recent loss that we experienced that my wife really struggled with was people would say, a number of people said this, this was not a loss because it is heaven's gain, or it's the church's gain, or God's going to bring good out of it, or whatever their next thought was. So this is not a loss, it's a gain because of. And my wife said, no, just because God can use us to bring something good out of it doesn't mean that we haven't experienced a loss and haven't experienced pain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so in our attempt to try to make sense of this thing, we are telling ourselves, no, this isn't bad. No, this isn't a loss. No, I don't need to grieve. And maybe we need to just say, this is a loss. Something bad happened. And these are the bad things that we can see, whether it was an accident or whether, you know, a drunk driver was involved, whether there was a hurricane, it doesn't matter. This is the bad thing. And now this is going to be my response. I'm going to turn to the Lord, depend on Him, put my faith in Him. And I have confidence that God and His sovereignty and omniscience and omnipotence can then bring good out of it in my life.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anything quite like that, but yeah, it's okay for there to be loss, but also to say, yes, it could also be gain. Good can come from it, but it doesn't invalidate the loss. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So moving on to kind of the next area of what causes pain is kind of natural disasters. So tsunamis, volcanoes, hurricanes, mudslides, whatever you want to call it. One thing I found interesting is the insurance industry sometimes calls them acts of God. In other words, it's something that man cannot control. And so they call them acts of God, even if they're not godly, God-fearing, God-believing people, they call them that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what have you heard about the cause of natural disasters, or what's going on there?
Well, again, I think it's because it's one of those things that I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
I can't turn off a tornado. So, therefore, it's in the realm of God. Mm-hmm. He's responsible for it. Like anything that I can't influence I suppose anything that I can't influence becomes God's problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very common response to natural disasters, is that God was in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard what your opinion is, but knowing the way your brain works, I'm sure you have a feeling about the way natural disasters are just natural.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I remember was, so after Hurricane Katrina, you know, the eye of the hurricane was very close to just going straight over New Orleans. And New Orleans is known for a lot of different things. Probably the thing it's almost most well known for, especially in Mennonite circles, is Mardi Gras, which I guess just happened a week or so ago. What is it called? Mm-hmm. Fat Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
Right before Ash Wednesday, which is when Lent starts.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big party. There's drinking. There's partying. There's nudity. There's all sorts of horrible things
mm-hmm.
going on there that are very ungodly. And people were saying that, you know, the city was being judged for its sin, and God sent mm-hmm. that hurricane. I heard people in our circles saying things like that. And, you know, I was a lot younger then, but even then I remember thinking, really? There's a lot of people in New Orleans that are not being involved in all these sinful things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that God killed them. Now, obviously, there are times where God has judged nations in the past, and we don't understand all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that God can't do that, but we need to be awfully careful attributing people getting killed by natural disaster to God judging them or judging a nation or a city or something. So when Adam and Eve sinned, it was not just them that had fallen. It was also creation.
Yeah.
It went from a place where I'm guessing it was very easy to find the food and the shelter and the things that they needed to where they had to work. There were thorns, there were thistles, there were weeds, there was disease, there were wild animals that they had to worry about now. And so just as man was fallen, I believe that creation was also fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no longer operating according to what God originally designed it to do. I don't quite understand all of that. If he kind of was maybe actively upholding things and he kind of removed his control. So I wonder if what we call natural disasters are simply the natural world being fallen and we seeing the effects mm-hmm. of that in a more direct way than we do sometimes. And so that means that we're going to suffer because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here again, the sovereignty of God, how that relates to the things that happen. Does God cause things to happen? I'm not saying that he can't, but
mm-hmm.
I really do wonder if a lot of those sorts of things are simply just a result of a fallen creation.
Sure.
And I think there are different verses that talks about kind of God upholding creation.
Mm-hmm.
Here again, I'm not totally sure what that means. I wonder if that means he is upholding the natural laws. So the force of gravity, the force of electromagnetism, of buoyancy, of wind, things like that. And those things will mm-hmm. sometimes come together to form a tornado, a hurricane. And that's not God's will that, you know, in a perfect creation, these things would not happen to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, because of sin, because of fallen creation, these things happen. So that's my explanation. I don't know. Does that, do you have any sort of a pushback there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in Romans 8, we're familiar with Romans 8 at the end, telling us that God works all things together for the good of those who love him.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in that chapter, he talks about how we as God's children are groaning for redemption to come because of all the bad things that are around mm-hmm. us. And in that context, he says something interesting about how all of creation is subject to God's curse.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all of creation being subject to God's curse, creation itself is looking forward to its redemption.
Yep.
And it says creation along with us has been groaning
yep.
for the redemption and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Or like that all things would go back to the way God intended it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, saying go back isn't quite right because I guess we're going to, God is more or less going to erase and start over.
Yeah.
But I suppose in that sense, it will be going back to
mm-hmm.
what God intended, or maybe even something better than what God had intended at the beginning. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's good that you brought that out, that creation is groaning. In a sense, it's kind of running down. It's just like our bodies kind of degrade over time.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's kind of the same thing with creation. It just is going downhill because God's intervention, his upholding has been removed. We see those things.
Yeah.
And I think that's also the cause of a lot of the things that our bodies experience. So aging, we oftentimes talk about the problem of pain and dealing with those who die an early death. But
mm-hmm.
it says in the Bible that death will die, that God does mm-hmm. not want death. That's not his intention for us. That was actually part of the fall. That was part of the consequences of Adam and Eve choosing wrongly was death. So even though sometimes we have a death of a loved one who had lived a long, full life, and it's not, there's not a huge amount of sadness. In a sense, it's a release from maybe some of the pain or mental degradation that they were dealing with. But here again, that's the result of the fall. And I think aging, our bodies just slowly start not working quite as good as they used to. I think that's the result of the fall. And whether it's cancer, you know, cancer is caused by DNA not replicating quite right, and then cells starting to grow out of control. To me, that's just, you know, the machinery that causes our DNA to replicate and for cell division to happen, it's not working perfectly. It's amazing how well it works, actually, that there isn't more cancer than there is. And our bodies can even deal with a certain amount of, you know, in each person's body, there is a certain amount of cancerous cells, but our body can usually take care of those. But for some people, those things aren't working right and they get cancer and get sick.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that's often brought out is, you know, how can a good God cause a child to have terrible, painful cancer? And I don't believe that he does. I believe that that's simply a result of our bodies that are fallen in a creation that's fallen.
And I think we should take comfort in knowing that for those who are children of God, who place their faith in the Lord Jesus and so on, there are lots of promises to us of God's heart being with us and for us, where we could say that as we go through difficulties and we weep and we suffer, that in a sense, the Lord is suffering with us. He doesn't enjoy seeing his children suffer. He would rather that we would be with him in paradise. And this blink of time where we are in difficulty is hard for his heart as well. He doesn't wish for us to have a child with cancer or whatever the difficulty might be. So, James, why do bad things happen?
I mean, I think bad things happen quite simply because of sin, is what I believe. It's sinful man. Because of sin, death entered into the world. Because of sin, we can't always pay attention very well, and we do something that we regret, or we make poor choices. And then also because of sin, creation has fallen, and we suffer from that. One thing that I was thinking about when you were talking just a little bit ago was, you know, we spend huge amounts of time and money and effort into trying to heal others from these diseases. From cancer and from other things. And so, yeah, if it's God's will, why are we trying to heal ourselves from these diseases? To me, I think it's man, you know, God has given man the ability to, in a sense, fight back against the fall by using medical technology, dams, you know, to control floods, design vehicles to make them safer. So when these accidents do happen, there's less chance of somebody getting injured or killed. So we do a huge amount of things to prevent death, and I think we should, because death is an enemy. It's not a friend. But yeah, I think that it's something that we're going to have to deal with till the end of time. But, you know, is it God's will that there is death, that there's pain? Quite simply, you know, you asked me earlier what my answer was, and I said it's simple, but it's also complex. And why do bad things happen? I don't think God causes them. I think God allows them to happen. And that's the simple answer. The complex answer is why we've been having this over hour-long discussion. So one thing that's easy to kind of fall into with, you know, some of the problems with what I believe is it does kind of feel like things are just kind of random and things are just happening. And entropy is wreaking havoc on the world and our bodies, and it's kind of like nihilistic. Like there's no meaning, there's no reason any of these things are happening. It can kind of feel that way, and for some reason that doesn't bother me that much. Sean and I were talking before we were recording that sort of thing doesn't really bother me, but I can understand why it would bother other people. I think it makes sense. But one thing that amazes me is even if God, you know, like we were saying at the beginning, we sometimes attribute God's will to things, possibly because we're trying to make something have meaning or purpose. To me, what's almost even more amazing than that is even if God doesn't want something to happen, but he allows it to happen, he can still work through that. He can work through the actions of evil men and cause good things to happen and can bring glory from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more amazing than he caused it in the first place, and to me.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk much about this, but Satan is also, I believe, a cause of some of the pain in the world. And I think that God can basically take what Satan has done and he can still make it for good. So just because God didn't do something doesn't mean we can't bring meaning into that and it can actually work out for good ends.
And I suppose the greatest example of that would be the life, death, resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
I think entropy was a little bit where you were headed in some of the explanations about why DNA is the way it is, why natural disasters happen, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I think about entropy and that all of us are going to die at some point, even though James is promoting that we put our research and money into living forever.
I did not say that.
Sometimes when I think about entropy and death and so on, it's like, what's the point? Why are we even bothering? Let's just all give up and die.
Mm-hmm.
But there is so much purpose to life. And you are right that death is our enemy and we should be fighting against that. Might be a good topic for another conversation. But Jesus said in John 16 that I've told you all these things. You know, he's leaving, you're going to be alone, bad things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants us to have peace. He wants us to have peace in him. And on earth, there are going to be bad things. There are going to be trials. There's going to be sorrows. There's going to be suffering. But he says, take heart. I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
And there's a hope waiting for us beyond this life. But there's also a hope and a peace that we can have that is beyond understanding that begins today. And we don't have to necessarily wait for this old world to end before we can have that joy and peace and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to hear from people, why do they think bad things happen? We've all experienced bad things, sorrows, trials, accidents, whatever. How have you dealt with it? Why do bad things happen? How do you relate to God through some of those things? I would love to receive some feedback on that.
Yeah, I would as well. I'd also like to know if anybody disagrees with us or disagrees with me in particular. You don't have to get Sean mixed into it. Because, you know, I said a lot of these things and a lot of them I feel pretty strongly about, but also I hold them somewhat loosely because, you know, I tried to bring a little bit of nuance into it that God still is sovereign and his ways are high above our ways. And so who's to say that he can't do whatever he wants?
Right. Right.
So that's something to kind of keep in mind. But yeah, I'd love to hear from some of you all. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Why do bad things happen?